This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The latest novel from Mitch Albom is a magical walk through much of the 20th century's best music. And music is your guide. The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto tells the story of a Spanish orphan who becomes the greatest guitar player anyone's heard. Through his life, he encounters some of the biggest names in 20th century music, and he changes lives with his musical talent. Mitch Albom first made his mark here in Michigan as a sports columnist for the Detroit Free Press, a role he continues 30 years later. But when he wrote Tuesdays with Maury as a tribute to his former professor, he grabbed the hearts of readers all over the world. Mitch Albom has now sold over 35 million books worldwide. Mitch, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks very much.
Pretty great course adjustment for a guy who wanted to be a musician.
Yeah, if you live long enough, things come back around. I didn't think it would happen this way, but I've learned to expect to be surprised.
Yes, you now really let that musical side of you get to come out and play in this book, The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto. And he is very Forrest Gumpian in connecting with so many musical people, isn't he?
Yeah. You know, I was a musician when I first came out of school. I always figured that that's all I would do. And I really never tried to develop any other talents because I was sure that that was my talent. When I found out that for whatever reason I wasn't succeeding in the music business, I volunteered for a local newspaper, wrote for free for 6 months, and found that I had some aptitude in storytelling and learned that, you know, maybe that's where my talent lies. So I never wrote about music in anything that any books that I wrote, or really not very much in any newspaper things or anything like that. I think because in my mind, when music ended, writing began and vice versa, and so I never mixed them. But when time came to sort of write this book and I wanted to write something about how people's gifts and their talents affect one another, I realized that I always thought mine was music, and then I found out it was writing. What if I could do something where the main character had this amazing talent that if he just allowed itself to come through, he could actually change people's lives? And so I decided I'll do it about a musician. Thus, Frankie Presto was born.
And guiding us through his life is music. Was it hard for you to land on what you felt was the right voice for music? Because it's something that matters so much to so many people.
It was hard. Writing all books is hard, but it was the right thing to do, because if you're going to tell a fantastical story about a magical guitar player who has six strings that can change people's lives and they turn blue whenever he changes a life, that's already kind of otherworldly. And you can't really tell that story as a first person or a third person as well as you could if you used sort of an equally otherworldly kind of narrator. And so I decided, don't worry about first person or third person. Let's make the narrator of the book music. And you had asked me if I would prepare to read something for our talk here. This would probably be the best time to do that, because I can give your listeners an idea of how I pulled this off, if
do
that's
it.
All right.
Let's do it.
This is literally the first line and then paragraphs of the book. I have come to claim my prize. He is there inside the coffin. In truth, he is mine already. But a good musician holds respectfully until the final notes are played. This man's melody is finished, but his mourners have come a great distance to add a few stanzas. Let us listen. Heaven can wait. Do I frighten you? I shouldn't. I am not death, nor am I the great judge whom you all fear at the end. Who am I to judge a life? I have been with the bad and the good. I hold no verdict on the wrongs this man committed, nor do I measure his virtues. I do know a great deal about him, the spells he wove with his guitar, the crowds he enthralled with that deep, breathy voice, the lives he changed with his six blue strings. I could share all this, or I could rest. I always make time to rest. Do you think me coy? I am, at times. I'm also sweet and calming and dissonant and angry and difficult and simple, as soothing as poured sand and as piercing as a pinprick. I am music, and I am here for the soul of Frankie Presto. Not all of it. Just the rather large part he took from me when he came into this world. However well used, I am alone, not a possession. You give me back upon departure. I will gather up Frankie's talent to spread on newborn souls, and I will do the same with yours one day. There is a reason you glance up when you first hear a melody, or tap your foot to the sound of a drum. All humans are musical. Why else would the Lord give you a beating heart?
Mitch Albom, reading from The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto, his newest novel, already a top 10 bestseller. And I just was so moved, Mitch, by the way that music describes the way we come away with different talents as we're newborns grabbing at the air.
Yeah, that was a basic conceit of the book right from the start, and it speaks to sort of the overall point of what I'm trying to say in the book. Music describes that when you're born, you come into the world. Before you even open your eyes, you can actually see, and what you see is a wall of brilliant colors, and those colors represent all the talents in the human spectrum. And when we clasp our little baby fist for the first time, we think we're just doing something, you know, neurological, but actually what we're doing is grabbing the colors that most appeal to us. We're choosing our talents sort of that fit us, and those are the talents you end up with. So Frankie Presto grabbed two big fistfuls of music, you know, that color. He got more than Bach or Mozart or Prince or anybody else. And so he becomes, you know, meant to play his music. And it's a metaphor, of course, for the talents that we're all sort of meant to have. And sometimes we pursue talents that we don't have because we want to. You know, everybody wants to be on American Idol and win the singing contest, but they're not all that naturally talented necessarily. Or everybody wants to be a jock, a football player, a basketball star, but some are just better than others, and that may not be where your real talent lies. But if you do find your blue strings, your particular talent, as Frankie Presto did, you can change the world.
And along with music narrating Frankie's life, we hear and meet musicians that he touched and knew. And this was what was so fascinating. Real artists from Hank Williams to Elvis to Burt Bacharach to Tony Bennett and lots more. How'd you decide whom to weave into your story, Mitch?
Well, I'm a huge music fan, and I like all forms. So I started when he was born in 1936 in Spain, because that's basically the birthplace of modern classical guitar. And so he's born in the same church where Francisco Torrega was born, because he was the influence on Segovia and so many other people. And he meets Django Reinhardt when he's put on a boat to come to America with this magic guitar in his grasp. And he gets to America, and he meets Duke Ellington, and he travels around with his band for a while. And then he's in Detroit in the Black Bottom clubs here, plays with Marcus Belgrave, the great trumpet player who just recently passed. And then he's down in Nashville, and then he encounters, as you pointed out, Hank Williams, and then later Little Richard in a recording studio in New Orleans. And then he's with Elvis Presley on the Louisiana Hayride. And it's sort of just a backdrop of all these 20th century sort of dots on the map of what I thought were sort of seminal moments that kind of turned modern music. And he is there for all of them, like Forrest Gump or Zelig. And many of them, I actually went to the real musicians who were involved, Darlene Love, Paul Stanley from Kiss, Roger McGuinn from the Byrds. And I asked them, can I write as you for a couple of pages? Would you trust me to be your voice? You can look at it after I'm done, obviously, but let's have you go to the funeral and you remember the time that you fell in love with Frankie and then he never called you back, or you auditioned Frankie for your band, or you found him when he was down and out. And each of them, they were so thrilled to be a part of it, because deep down, musicians want to be writers and writers want to be musicians. I swear it's true. And so they were happy to participate in the book, and it ended up making it very rich and almost to the point that I've had a lot of people say to me, you know, I started Googling Frankie Presto halfway through the book because I was convinced I must have missed him somehow, because the stuff seems so real.
Your research is awesome, I have to say. The complication of all of these layered stories and the research is phenomenal.
Well, I have to give credit to Joanne Barnes. She was my researcher, and it's the first time I've hired a full-time researcher to work with me, because if you want to find out what color the car was and the name of the car lot where Hank Williams bought the car that ultimately he would die in on New Year's Day and write a novel, good luck. You know, you've got to have someone helping you find out those kind of details, and she did a fantastic job.
And what is also fantastic is The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto has a soundtrack to go with it. Let's take a listen to a bit of a song called No, No, Honey, and this is Brent James as Frankie Presto.
Every time I know you've done me wrong, here you come and sing your old song. You said, baby, don't be blue, I don't love nobody but you. Won't you take me back where I belong? Say no, no, honey. Say no, no, honey. Say no, no, honey. Say no, no, honey. Say no, say no, say no, but I do confess that I kind of mean yes.
I love that song. And you wrote that, Mitch? How did that come to be?
What happened was, a lot of these artists agreed to do a soundtrack and take songs that I had sort of created in the book, that because Frankie Presto becomes sort of the next Elvis Presley for a few years in his career. He's very, very popular before he sort of disappears off the music scene and becomes this recluse. So these songs exist in the book with titles and some lyrics, and people like Ingrid Michaelson, Matt Kearney, Sawyer Fredericks from The Voice, Brent and others agreed to each take a song and kind of go out and write music to the lyrics and the name that I had come up with and set it kind of in the tone of the year that it was supposed to come out. And everybody went off and did it, and they did a great job. And then 2 days before we were supposed to press the record, Ingrid Michaelson called me to make some little adjustment on hers, and she basically told me that she had done the wrong one.
Oops.
That she had she was supposed to do No, No, Honey, and she had switched over to another one without telling me. So now I had two of another one called Our Secret and didn't have anybody to do No, No, Honey. And fortunately, Brent was around in Cincinnati. I called him. I said, can you get up here fast? And he drove up, and we honestly, I can't even remember the names of all the musicians that were in there, but this speaks to kind of the language of music that I write about in the book, that it's almost its own language. And we just sat down and I said, well, here's how I heard it. It was kind of a rockabilly thing and sort of a call and response, like a Ray Charles Hit the Road Jack. You know, there should be a female chorus and he sings something and they sing something. Kind of like this. And I did, you know, and I sang a little verse. And next thing I know, you know, we were recording it. So I didn't intend to go all the way that far, but I did on that one. But the other ones are equally great and they are done by these other artists. And it's just fantastic, their interpretation of the time and the era. So they're all sort of Frankie Presto, but at different points in his career.
You know, Mitch, I think about your writing, and faith and spirituality are such important themes in all of your books, starting with Tuesdays with Maury. You've been on the First Stateside program ever, talking about The Timekeeper in 2012. You and I talked about The First Phone Call from Heaven, and now Frankie Presto. With such an emphasis on the theme of faith woven through so much of your writing, I wonder, do you ever wonder if we as a generation have kind of failed in passing faith to the generations after us?
You know, I'm not trying to tell anybody how to believe or what to believe. Just to believe in something, you know, just to believe in one another at the very least. And there's a little spark of divinity and magic that runs through all of us that makes us human. You know, we are different than groundhogs, and there's something unique about us. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know what it is, but it seems to me to be something magical, mysterious, and magnificent, and I think it should be celebrated, and I try to put that in my stories.
And also in terms of music, I remember when I was in school, it was so easy to get music lessons, to get an instrument, to play something in the band or the orchestra. Do you feel like those chances that we could take for granted when we were growing up have waned as school districts, you know, have had to make tough fiscal decisions, and we've also seen music taking a backseat to STEM classes?
Yeah, no question. I mean, building a robot is important, I'm sure, in its own way, but there's something intrinsic about music. One of the reasons that Magic Strings of Frankie Presto ended up so big, because I never write books that are 500 pages. I mean, I think my longest one might have been 300. Most of them are 200. Most of them you can fit in your pocket.
Right, right.
But when I started with Duke Ellington and then went on to, you know, some people in New Orleans jazz and all this, I realized, wait, I can't pay short shrift to this one if I don't do this one. And this next thing I know is at 500 pages. So I think some of it, the size of this, is reflective of the fact that there's so much to pay homage to in the arts and how we affect each other through the arts. And I just do believe that it's really important for us to absorb that.
I love the way also you offered up the idea we are all in different bands in our lifetimes. It never occurred to me that way, but it's so true. And I want us to take a listen to another track from the Frankie Presto soundtrack, because this is a band especially important to you. This is you, and this is your wife, Janine Sabino.
Remember, my dear, the vow that you made to me, that you would always be true, and your love would never fade.
You had a great vocalist to work with.
Yeah. I married well.
You did. Tell us a little about that beautiful song.
That's called Maala Mokaya, and it's a Philippine song that means, will you remember? And there's a moment in the book where very early on where Frankie is 8 years old, and he's walking through the woods, and he discovers a girl hiding up in a tree. This is while he's in Spain, and he climbs up the tree because she dares him. He thinks she's a boy, and when he gets up there, he sees that she's a girl. And while they're up in the tree, an army truck comes by and dumps out six bodies as happened terribly often in Spain during its civil war. They just would build these mass graves and throw bodies in them, and they're up in the tree, and they witness this, and then the truck drives away after they cover the bodies in dirt, and the two of them go down and stand by this grave, and it's a very sweet scene where she says, you should play something with that guitar for them, and he says, well, what am I supposed to play? And she says, something that says we won't forget them. And so he remembers a song that his blind guitar teacher taught him called Maala Mokaya, which was at the time a popular song in the 30s, and it means, will you remember? And so he plays it on his guitar, and this little girl turns and looks at him and basically falls in love with him for the rest of her life by his playing. Another example of how when you know, your talents can affect people, and they sort of have this sweet little moment, and then he takes his strings off of his guitar, one of each string, and makes a little flower out of the string and puts it on the dirt for the graves to mark each of the six bodies there. And because he does that, basically he's sort of rewarded by the gods or fate, you know, for the fact that he was willing to sacrifice his most precious thing, which was his guitar. He gets back new strings later on in life that are magical and allow him to change six lives over the course of his own life. Each time he does it, the string turns blue, and then it sort of evaporates and it's done. And that song was the song that he played, and it remains a song between him and his, well, the little eight-year-old version of his wife, who she eventually becomes his wife, and they have this great love story throughout the book, which I think it's the best love story I ever did. I read my books out loud to her, and she says, oh, that's so nice. And she said, well, you never said that to me. I said, I'm saying it to you right now. You know, the only love story you ever really know are the ones of your own, you know, so you're sort of telling your own.
Speaking of impacting people, what do you feel has been the most satisfying thing to you in this journey you've taken of storytelling and writing books, starting with Tuesdays with Maury and all the way up to Frankie Presto?
Well, I'm very blessed as an author. You know, all authors get compliments. And I think if you go on all authors' websites or, you know, wherever they make comments, you'll see people say, oh, I love your book. I love your book. You're my favorite author. You're my favorite author. And it's amazing to hear that from one person, let alone multitudes. But I'm particularly lucky in that I have had chances that people have said to me, I read Tuesdays with Maury, I read Five People You Meet in Heaven, and as a result of that, I called my brother who I hadn't talked to for so many years, or I read it to my wife as she was dying from cancer. It was the last thing we shared together, or For One More Day made me call my mother, I was so lucky because the next day, you know, she passed away, or, you know, all these sort of fortuitous things that the people have done. Not because of me, but because a story inspired them. That's writing at its best to me, that it inspires you to do something or think something or take an action. And the kind of actions, fortunately for me, that people have generally taken have been these amazing sort of often life-changing kinds of things. And to be a part of that, just to be in the midst of that or the mix of it, to deliver some of Maury's wisdom to other people who then they pass on, or people tell me they read passages from Tuesdays with Maury at their wedding, you know, things that Maury said, and that was part of their vows, or at funerals when they say goodbye to people. That's a great honor. I can think of nothing higher for somebody who writes. And so that has probably been the most significant and humbling and yet memorable part of the books that I've written.
The book is The Magic Strings of Frankie Presto, another top 10 bestseller from Mitch Albom. It's always great to talk with you, Mitch. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on the program.